Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church on this Reformation Sunday. We have a few announcements before worship begins. One, there is a potluck after worship. I hope you all have brought your appetite with you. If you go in the kitchen, you can already smell the food cooking. I'm sure before worship is over, we'll smell it all wafting in here. At the end of the service, before the sending hymn, we're going to sing a prayer. The words are listed in the bulletin, but I don't want it to catch you off guard. It's to the tune of Edelweiss. So we will sing that before going into the potluck. If anyone is willing to stay after the potluck and help the fellowship committee clean up after, your help would be much appreciated. We've got a cemetery committee meeting this Wednesday at 6:30, Bible study on Thursday at 7. Next Sunday is also another big Sunday. It is All Saints Sunday. If any of you have the name of a loved one that you would like read aloud next Sunday and a candle lit in their memory, please submit that to me by today or tomorrow at the latest so I can get enough candles and get the name in the bulletin. 2 weeks from today, we are going to have a breakfast in honor of our veterans hosted by the fellowship committee. So keep that on your calendar. Come early in 2 weeks for breakfast. We'll get more details out for you, but just want that to be on your radar. The volunteers for worship for the month of November are listed in the bulletin. There are sign-up sheets for altar flowers and the Mother's Rose Garden for 2023 hanging up on the bulletin board at the end of the ramp. Also, the new 2023 time and talent sheets are available. So if you'd like to be in prayerful discernment of how you'd like to serve here at Holly Grove in the upcoming year, please grab that and put on there your the ways you're willing to serve. We have a couple of prayer shawls this morning. One is for a very dear friend of Robin and Karen and Bob, who has been diagnosed with cancer. He isn't really making his diagnosis public yet, but they want to have a prayer shawl for him as he navigates treatment. And this blue prayer shawl is for Jody Kratz Hernandez mother, Tempe Swing Olmsted. She is in the end stages of struggling with dementia and is in hospice care, probably will be on hospice for a little while, but Jody has asked for a prayer shawl for her mother. Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, and that whenever we come to you with joys, with concerns, that you are there to hear us, that you hear the cries of your people, and you have always heard the cries of your people. We ask that you would bless these prayer shawls and that you would bless the ones who will receive them. May these prayer shawls be a reminder that they are loved and cared for and prayed about. And as they feel the weight of these prayer shawls upon them, may they also feel the weight of our love and care here at Holly Grove. In Jesus' name, amen. And finally, we have a few birthdays this week. Stephanie Hearn, Stephen Nelson, Libby Carrick, and Janice Queen. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who is eager to forgive and who loves us beyond our days. Amen. Dear friends, let us together acknowledge our failure to love this world as Jesus does. God of mercy and forgiveness, we confess that sin still has a hold on us. We have harmed your good creation. We have failed to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. Turn us in a new direction. Show us the path that leads to life. Be our refuge and strength on the journey. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and friend. Amen. Beloved of God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven, and you are made whole. God points the way to new life in Christ, who meets you on the road. Journey now in God's abiding love through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh, hey, oh, friends, is the power.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Fill it with all truth and peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in need, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament for today comes from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life. The psalm for today is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength.
A very present joy and control.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, though its waters rage and foam. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. The Lord of hosts is with us. Come now, regard the works of the Lord. Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world. Be still then, and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Calvin. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Maddie. Well, I have two children's sermons this morning. One of them is for all of you here. And then after we finish this one, and when Kate and Cameron and maybe Maddie go to play together, if Sawyer and Calvin, if you'll hang out for a little bit, I've got another one to do. Does anybody know what this is? A question mark. Have you ever seen one of these, Cameron? Have you seen one? What does a question mark mean? What's in the story? What's next? It asks us a question, right? There are different sentences, and sometimes if it ends in a period, we are just saying something. But if it ends in a question mark, we're asking something. Well, one of the really neat things about being Lutheran is that we love to ask questions, especially about God and about our faith. In fact, one of Martin Luther's very favorite questions is, what does this mean? It's all over some of his writings, and especially in the Small Catechism, which is a really important piece of our Lutheran history and understanding of who God is. Every time Luther talks about something in the Small Catechism, he says, well, what does this mean? So when we read one of the Ten Commandments, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. What does that mean? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. What does that mean? He asks questions about communion and baptism. What does it mean? And so what I want to let you know and remind you of, and I'll keep reminding you of this, God loves it when we ask questions. Part of what it means to be baptized is that we spend our whole lives growing more and more into our faith and more into Jesus. And that means also that we learn more about God. We're called to learn more about God our whole lives long. And one of the ways that we do that is by asking, what does this mean? So when we're singing a hymn and there's a word or a phrase that we may not understand, what does this mean? When we're reading our Bible, what does it mean? There are all kinds of questions that we can have, and God loves it when we ask questions. So I hope that you know that you can ask questions. You can come to me, you can ask your parents, but questions are awesome. So does anybody have a question about God this morning they might want to ask? Calvin, what's your question? Well, that's a really big question. So Calvin says, basically, the Bible is so old. How did it come together? And how do we know that it's God's word for us and not just words by humans? It is confusing. You know what? It's confusing for grown-ups too. So long before the Bible was ever written down, God's people told stories about how they experienced God verbally with words, and they sang lots of songs. In fact, the book of Psalms, we don't know the melodies that they were sung to, but the book of Psalms all had melodies, and they were sung by God's people over and over again. And here's how I think about that. Yes, the Bible was written by humans, and yes, they wore their human lenses and their wherever they were living and whatever they were experiencing, whatever cultures they were living in, they wore those lenses when they wrote it. But we have the gift of the Holy Spirit when we read the Bible, because the Holy Spirit is within us. When we're baptized, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit helps us understand God's word in the original context that it was written, hopefully, so that we can understand it for us and for our times. And so the Bible is different than any other book because it's not just words on a page. When we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is with us, helping us to understand what God wants us to know from those particular passages. That's a really simple answer, and I have a lot more things to say about that, but let's talk about it sometime. Well, let's pray. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. Thank you for our hearts and our minds and for our bodies. Help us to love you with our bodies and our hearts and our minds. Remind us it's okay to ask questions. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You guys want to go play for a little bit and come back for communion? And you guys going to hang out with me for a little bit? So I've heard recently that some of these folks, they like it when I do kind of a longer children's sermon up here. And so I thought I would do one today. These sometimes make me have more preparation because I love it when you guys ask questions and I want to be able to try my best to answer those and to help make sense with what I'm talking about. So I thought today we could talk about the psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 46, and the hymn that we sang at the beginning of the service. That hymn was called, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Now, when you heard Judy play the melody and when we were singing those words, did you recognize that hymn? No, you didn't? Did you recognize it, Calvin? Well, this hymn is probably one of Martin Luther, one of his most famous hymns that he ever wrote. And a lot of people think that A Mighty Fortress was sort of the battle hymn, the battle song of the Reformation. But actually, Reformation Day, the day that we're celebrating today, didn't start being celebrated in the church year until almost 1650. That's well over 100 years after Martin Luther died. And so I thought, well, maybe we could talk a little bit about that hymn, because I think if you were to ask most Lutherans what one of their favorite hymns is, they might say A Mighty Fortress. Or if you were to ask other people, what is the most Lutheran hymn you can think of, they would probably say A Mighty Fortress. In fact, in the last year, two of our members, when they died, the very first song that was sung at their funeral and memorial service was A Mighty Fortress. And I wonder, in fact, if we were to turn around and ask everybody, can you remember a time in your life when you didn't know A Mighty Fortress? Or is it one of those songs that is just so ingrained into your memories, and it's such a part of who you are, and it's such a part of your faith, that it's just interwoven? And so maybe when you guys get a little bit older, and you hear those first few notes, and you hear those words, you'll say, oh, A Mighty Fortress. And it's almost like when your mom makes you one of your favorite meals. It's so comforting. You know it. You know it well. That's kind of how A Mighty Fortress is. And in fact, that's actually what Martin Luther intended when he wrote it. One of the earliest pieces of music that we have for A Mighty Fortress, which is kind of like a piece of sheet music, at the top, the title isn't A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. The title is A Hymn of Comfort. Isn't that interesting? That Martin Luther, on one of the original pieces of sheet music for this hymn, the title isn't the first few words of the hymn like most hymns are. It's A Hymn of Comfort. And I wonder how many of us would automatically think of A Mighty Fortress as a hymn of comfort. But if we look at some of the words, it makes sense. So when Luther wrote this hymn, there were a lot of really hard things going on in his life. One of his friends had been martyred, which means he had been killed for his faith. There was a plague in the city where Luther lived. And one of the hardest things that was going on in his life about the time he wrote this hymn is that he and his wife had a daughter, and she was very sick when she was born, and she died when she was just a few months old. And that was incredibly hard and painful for Luther. And so Luther was going through some really difficult things in his life, and he found comfort in Psalm 46. So much so that he wrote a hymn based on some of those words. Are there songs in your lives that bring you comfort? If you're having a tough day, if you're feeling really sad, is there a song that you can think of that you might want to listen to that brings you comfort? You like to listen to the Smashing Pumpkins? You guess that. Do you have a song that makes you feel better when you're sad or upset, Sawyer? You have a lot of songs. Well, this is one of the songs that Luther, over and over when he was having a hard time, that he would often sing. And we have it in writings from history that other people, when they were going through really difficult times, they would sing this song too, because the words bring them comfort. And the reason the words bring them comfort is because the words remind us of who God is And the words remind us that no matter what we are going through, even some of the hardest things you can imagine going through in life, that God is with us, that we don't go through any of it alone, and that even when we're going through hard things, God comforts us, and God cares for us, and God is a place of strength and a source of strength. In fact, do you know what a mighty fortress is? A fortress is like a building? Yeah, exactly. So I asked a friend of mine who studies German, I asked what a fortress would have meant in the words that Luther used that are translated into a mighty fortress. And she said that it's, in our English, it's translated a mighty fortress, but some people say it's a massive fortress. So mighty means strong, massive means huge. A burg is a castle, which is, that's one of the words that Luther uses. You can also translate the burg to be a fortress, and something that was often used in military battles. So if someone was under attack, they could go to a military fortress for protection. Yes, that's exactly right. This was really interesting. She said a lot of the fortresses in Germany, the ones that Luther would have been familiar with in his life when he wrote this, that the walls of a fortress or a castle or a military fortress averaged about 6 feet wide. So they were even taller than 6 feet, right? I'm not quite 6 feet. So the walls were much taller than I am, but they were also wider than I am. So can you imagine, let's say for example, the psalm talks about a flood. The waters rage and there are floods. Do you think if someone is inside a fortress or a castle with 6 feet thick walls, if there's a flood, do you think the water could get through that walls that thick? No. What if someone were under attack and they were in a fortress with walls 6 feet wide? Could a gunshot get through 6 feet of stone? An arrow from a bow and arrow?
No.
Is there anything you can think of that could get through? I mean, we're talking water, we're talking any kind of danger that could get through a wall that's 6 feet wide.
A wrecking ball.
That's true. But at the time of Luther, there weren't wrecking balls. But that is true. No, that a missile didn't exist then either. So I guess there are a couple loopholes in my my thinking here. But all of that to say, if we use the word picture, a mighty fortress, a massive fortress for God's love and care for us, then that, what does that say about God's love? Right? Because one of the ways that we think about God and we understand God is through thinking up through word pictures. And so if God is a mighty or a massive fortress, if God's love for us is 6 feet thick, which we know it's way, way, way more than that, but if God's love and care and protection for us is more than 6 feet wide, what do you think that means about God's love and care? That nothing can stop it, that nothing can get through it, that nothing can shatter it, that God's love and care are so strong for us that there's really nothing that can harm us. That's pretty amazing to think about. Have you ever thought about God's love being that strong?
No.
No? Well, I think that's a pretty neat word picture to think about with God's love. And so a little bit of, Yes. So a little bit ago, I mentioned that in the last year, when two of our members have died, their families have chosen to have this hymn sung at their funeral. And the last words of this hymn always choke me up a little bit, especially when we sing them at funerals. I don't know if you've been to many funerals. You've never been to one? Well, sometimes when we're singing hymns or worship songs, when you're at a funeral and you're thinking about that person now being completely in God's love and being at peace, sometimes the words feel different and they sound different. And always at a funeral, I get a little choked up when we sing those last words. And this is a translation. I don't have the hymn words in here, but though humans may take our lives, our goods, our honor, our children's, our spouses, nothing will they have won. God's kingdom will stand forever. It's much more poetic when we sing it, but what it essentially means is everything that we love, everyone that we love the most especially, can be taken from us, and they still have not won. And so when someone is at a funeral and their loved ones have died, whether it's their husband or their wife or their mom or their dad or their grandma or grandpa, brother or sister, when their hearts are so heavy and broken from just losing their loved ones, I think it's incredibly powerful that they can still sing these words. Though they may take our goods, our honor, our children's, our spouses, they still have not won. God still has the victory. And that's because death cannot ever have the power over us, that God's love is stronger than death. That all of the things we struggle with in life, they do not have power over us, and they cannot win the day because God's love wins the day. Right? So if somebody has cancer, cancer doesn't win. If somebody has dementia, where they've lost all of their memories, dementia doesn't win. Where if somebody loses their job, that doesn't win. If someone gets bullied at school, the bullies don't win. You know what wins? God's love. God's love wins. There is nothing that can happen to us in this life that will separate us from God's love. There is nothing in this life that we will endure, that we will go through, where God is not going to be with us and caring for us and loving us. Right? Sometimes we like to think that because we are Christians, because we believe in Jesus, that bad things won't happen to us. But that's not the truth. The truth is that because we are human, we are all going to go through really hard things. It's not a matter of if we're going to go through hard things. It's a matter of when. And so as much as we would like to protect ourselves and protect our loved ones from hard times, we can't. They're going to come because life just happens. But the comfort and hope that we have, that we can hold on to with our whole hearts and our whole minds and our whole bodies, is that God is always going to be with us in those hard times, and that God's love will always be with us, and God's love will always be wrapped around us, that God's love will never ever leave us. I know it's kind of hard to imagine, even although I think you guys have had some hard things in your life, it can be kind of hard to imagine just how hard life can be, but I think if we were to ask our brothers and sisters in the pews, they can share some things that they've been through. But I think they could also share that Jesus has been right there by their side through it all. And I think they would want to encourage you, just like I'm encouraging you, to hold on to God's love. To know that God loves you beyond what you can even imagine, and that God will always be with you. Do you guys have any questions or thoughts? I know I've said kind of a lot of things, and it's some hard things. No? Thank you for being up here, for listening. You have been very patient listeners. I'm really thankful for you. And I think that you are a wonderful reminder for all of us that God is with us in our midst, because we see God's love in each of you. So as you go back to your seats, remember that God is always with you, that God's love will never leave you, and that we all love you too. All right. Amen. You may go back to your seats.
Together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day,
in gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all God's creation. God, our fortress, we pray for the church. Write your teachings of love on the hearts of your people, that we remain steadfast in our witness to your grace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, our Creator, we pray for your earth. Reform and reorient our relationship with the environment, that we may faithfully care for all of your creation. Hear us, O God.
Your
O God, our refuge and strength, we pray for the nations. Where they are in an uproar, bring wise leadership and comfort for those in distress. May wars to cease and peace to enter every land. Hear us, O God. God, our very present help in trouble, we pray for those in need. Show mercy to refugees and all fleeing from danger. Shelter any without homes. Calm all who are facing illness, surgery, or grief, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Latifa, Carrie, Bonnie, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Neil, Paul and Carolina, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. God, our Redeemer, we pray for our congregation. Open our hearts to your Holy Spirit. Teach us your word and give us courage to proclaim their faith. Hear us, O God. God, our stronghold, we give thanks for those who have gone before us in faith, especially Martin Luther and all the reformers. Renew and reform us as we strive to continue in your word. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in your great love, you richly provide us our needs. Make of these gifts a banquet of blessing, and make us ready to share with all in need through Jesus Christ, who sets a table for all. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus, and let the church say amen. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom, and let the church say amen.
Amen.
Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ invites you to this table. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good. stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of the abundant table, you have refreshed us in this meal with bread for the journey. Give us your grace on the road that we might serve our neighbors with joy for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Before we sing our meal prayer, I just want to remind council folks we're going to have a very, very brief meeting after worship. Let's just meet back by Neil and Norris. We'll save Neil a few rolling rotations on his cart. The rest of you, if you want to make your way down the ramp to the potluck.
And Marie says there's plenty of food that came in.
Fixed enough for an army. So please come, even if you didn't bring anything, please come. There's plenty of food.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Love your neighbor. Thanks be to God.